Nahum chapter 1, we're at verse 9. Nahum 1 verse 9, we're building still on the verses we've already seen. These all work together. Nahum 1 9, whatever you devise against the Lord, he will make a complete end of it. Distress will not rise up twice, like tangled thorns, like those who are drunken with their drink. They are consumed as stubble, completely withered. From you has gone forth one who plotted evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Let's pray. Lord, we are to be comforted that in the midst of all the wicked counselors that we face in the world and the complete departure that our society has taken from you, that we are not to consider that these things will prevail, but take encouragement that, Lord, you will prevail. And our faith be strengthened, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many people who dream one day their name will be known throughout the world in a good way. They write a book, people know about them. That they're looked upon as a wise and accomplished person with the wisdom of Solomon. That their name is as familiar as Abraham Lincoln and George Washington. That when they speak, people stop talking to hear. They write books, whatever they do, they make a great impact. When we got Sequa, one of the first things she said, knowing that I could do web pages, I guess. If you wanted to have a web page, what would she like on the web page? She's 8 years old. She wanted to do a web page on fashion. 8 years old. I said, you're 8 years old. She wanted to do one on fashion. You should have seen that web page I made her. It never was made. Because she didn't, I mean, she dreamed of something. Maybe it's my fault. Maybe I, stunted her growth into the fashion industry. I just felt 8 years old, she was not quite ready. But the dream I thought was okay. You know, dream that you're gonna be great. What often happens though, whether you're an author or whatever, is that a very few close acquaintances understand and know your work, but nobody else does. That's the reality. It's a big world. To get your voice out into this big world, it's easier today in some ways, but there's more people who are able to do it. So it's rare. That doesn't mean that what you say and what you write shouldn't be heard. In many cases, you should be heard. It would be better than what's out there. A lot of people who are amazingly popular and well-known are better unheard. They don't have wisdom. It's best for foolish people to be quiet. But what do we find in our world? The bigger fool you are, the bigger your impact, it seems. Worldwide fame is hard to accomplish. Very few will ever get it. However, there is a way where you can be at the highest level, a major impact, known at the top reaches of the world. Some people do it in politics. Some people do it in church or religion. Some people do it in business, education. Whatever you're doing, in fact, there is a way that you can go to the top, that the very top will know about you. You don't even have to be famous for this to happen. I'll tell you how you do that in this passage. First of all, we're talking about wicked counselor. How does one become a wicked counselor? You have to have a very important part. Look at James chapter 3. This is where it normally starts. James 3, verse 1. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits in the horses' mouths so they will obey us and direct their entire body as well, look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also, and here it is, the tongue. I'm not asking you to stick it out, but you got a tongue. The tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. That is what you need. It says every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed, has been tamed by the human race. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. So, to become a wicked counselor, you have to have a tongue. Although that's not absolutely necessary. In today's world, a hand is sufficient. You can write. You could do that back then too. But today you can really spread your influence with your fingers on Facebook and Twitter and those things. So, this is an issue about the use of words. Verse 9 of our text says, whatever you devise. Verse 11 uses a parallel phrase, one who plotted evil. So, both of those things are speaking of using words in a wicked fashion. And they seek to overcome God's way by doing it. They are seeking in devising, they're planning, they're being cunning. They're figuring it out. Where do these words originate? Look at Matthew chapter 12. How do we get all these words? Well, you got your tongue, but really it goes much deeper than that. Matthew 12, verse 34. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. How do you get the words to say. Why do some words come out of people's mouths that really are ugly, wicked, evil? Why do people say things they shouldn't say? Well, it's because of the heart. The mouth, the tongue, is connected to the heart. Your hands, your fingers, connected to the heart. In Proverbs, just in Proverbs, a book about wise and foolish behavior, the term heart is used in 64 verses. That is the seat, that is the source, that is the wellspring for human behavior, wise or foolish. The human heart determines the outflow of your actions and words and thoughts. That's why in Proverbs 4:23 it says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence." If you don't watch your heart, it'll get out of hand. Your heart will feed your life, and it does. And whatever your heart is, that's what you'll be. Your actions are determined by the quality of your heart. We're told the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That is its natural state. That's the default. Unless your heart is changed, that's the product of your life. This is really counter to the secular belief that your behavior is a physical thing. Now, your behavior can be connected to physical things. You can be sick and not feel well and act differently. But the solution, the core in the, for example, psychiatry, is that bad behavior is a brain issue or a neurosis, a fear issue, and that this is treated by medicine or psychotherapy or something like that. They don't speak about the heart. In fact, you never hear the world speaking about the heart. It's something on the outside. Now, if you're in your spaceship, I assume you'll be in this week. You're in your spaceship, and your spaceship is circling the Earth. And suddenly, your spaceship starts to dive toward the Earth. You look at your controls, and you're not doing it. Something is wrong with your spaceship. And there's no beam me up, Scotty, going on in this scenario. Your spaceship is crashing. That is a physical problem. That would need a physical correction. But your life, although we certainly have physical problems, your life, in order to be fixed, if it's crashing, it's a spiritual thing. It's a heart. Because the heart is the source of why you're doing the things that you're doing. So the world, in order to treat behavioral problems, they have laws. You want to stop murder? I don't know why anybody hadn't thought about this. You want to stop murder in this country? Make a law against it. Just make a law against it. No murder. And you want to make a space where handicapped people can park and nobody else? You put up a sign, a blue sign, handicapped only. And nobody will ever get in that spot except a handicapped person. Because it's a law, you see. Well, you go on and on. I understand that banks have gotten in on this and they've learned this, and it's now illegal to rob a bank. So that will never happen. Well, the problem, of course, is that legislation, which is fine in itself, you set some standards, but you can't stop it unless you reach the heart. Unless the heart is changed, it will not change behavior. People are easily offended today. Oh, we can't say anything. Comedy's been outlawed almost. You can't say anything because people are fragile. Well, they see that they're not getting their meaning and purpose and solidity from the absolute standards of the Word of God. They are tossed here and there. So that leaves a person who wants to be a wicked counselor to two very simple requirements. One, fill your heart with evil. Two, talk or communicate. To fill your heart with evil, just take off the filters. Just let the world flow in. You burn leaves in the fall. You want to smell like smoke, you just let it fly. You know, smoke follows beauty. We were already told that. I was all the time. Let it, and you'll smell like smoke. Be yourself. People in this world swallow evil hook, line, and sinker. You're told something is normal. Oh, okay. There you go. And then, full of evil, full of the things in your heart that will work itself out through your communication. Communicate. Write. Talk. Type. Post. Share the preponderance of your foolishness to the world. Easiest job to have in the world is to be a fool. Be yourself. To quote Ringo Starr, all you got to do is act naturally. Your heart is already inclined to foolishness. You've been seeing that in Proverbs. Your wisdom comes from God. You fear the Lord, and that's the beginning of wisdom. Your heart is changed. We complain about social media. We got to stop all this bad stuff on social media. Hate speech. Of course, hate speech is whatever another person disagrees with. But, oh, what are we going to do with Twitter and Instagram and Facebook? Well, there's nothing you can do to stop people from posting bad things, if it's really bad, unless you change their heart. That's the only way. We complain about lying politicians, and I repeat myself, don't I? Their heart is the problem. Electing another one is not the solution. What we really hope for is that the people who are in power will be saved and their hearts will change. And boy, I would love to see that. That would be the greatest thing ever. A person who one day has the old heart and is supporting wicked things. The next time we see that person, they are supporting things which they see as in the fear of God. Wow. That's what we're supposed to pray for. There's literally no crisis today that's brought on by bad behavior that addresses the heart. We get regulations. We get new laws. We get speeches. The Bible says our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So the heart has to be changed. Who can do that? The Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah, we can have the laws. The laws are fine. We need to limit. You know, the government has that function. But how do you become a wicked counselor? Well, you know, just have an evil heart and communicate. Secondly, What does a wicked counselor do? Remember wicked counselor in verse 11, that's where what we're speaking about. And it says, as already mentioned in verse 9 and 11, he devises and plots a course that is opposed to the Lord. The general way we express this in Scripture is that they do not fear the Lord. They do their own thing. They follow their own way. They communicate, they devise, they plan. They don't think about the Lord. They just do what they want to do. They follow their own heart, and their heart is wicked. It's unregenerate. They believe and pursue paths for themselves and for others that are defined by Scripture as ungodly. Well, who are you to say it's ungodly? Well, I'm not one to say it. The Bible says it. God says it. God is able to say it. And they seek to conform themselves and influence others in a way that is against the Lord. The Bible says they not only do the same things, but they delight in others that do them. That's the nature. That's the nature of the wicked heart. If you fail your test, you want everybody to fail their test, or you look bad. They are evil. They want you to be evil, or they look bad. So if a Christian comes along and his heart is changed and he fears the Lord, he's not welcome in that environment. The education system in our country is about doing this to kids, corrupting and pointing them to a way that is not biblical. I mean, they don't have to be a religious school to teach the truth. Some of the songs we sang this morning, I remember we gathered together. We used to sing that in elementary school. And said, you know, a prayer. Entertainment industry is doing this. You watch a movie, they got to show you how normal life is. And they show normal as there's Jane with a beard or something. Oh, yeah, okay, I'll get it now. I'm transgender too. This is the way the entertainment industry approaches it. Churches do it, unfortunately. A pastor will get up there and say something that's not right according to Scripture, and he leads the congregation in a wrong way, and soon his church is full of people. A guy in Texas has like 40,000 members. I can't even walk by his book in the bookstore without getting it and putting it behind something. And yet he's successful in the eyes of the world. A wicked counselor's damage is increased by a position of power. The Lord, through Nahum, defines or tells us, identifies a person who is the wicked counselor. Verse 11, it says the wicked counselor. A wicked counselor has done these things. A wicked counselor is devised against the Lord. A wicked counselor has plotted evil against the Lord. Who is that? This whoever it is at this point, it's happened in the past. Note the past tense there. From you has gone forth one who plotted evil against the Lord. Well, I wonder what happened to him. It's already happened. From you. Well, we know from you, if you take your finger from you and just shoot right up the page of the first verse, this is about Nineveh. So somebody from Nineveh has gone forth and sought to pervert the ways of the Lord. The wicked counselor. Who is the wicked counselor? Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 32. I believe this is who is being spoken of. verse 1. And by the way, that is his latest profile picture on Facebook. Sennacherib. Verse 1. After these acts of faithfulness, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, remember Nineveh is capital of Assyria, came and invaded Judah and besieged the fortified cities and thought to break into them for himself. Now when Hezekiah, king of Judah, saw that Sennacherib had come and that he intended to make war on Jerusalem, he decided with his officers and his warriors to cut off the supply of water from the springs which were outside the city, and they helped him. So many people assembled and stopped up all the springs in the stream which flowed through the region, saying, "Why should the kings of Assyria come and find abundant water?" And he took courage and rebuilt all the wall that had been broken down and erected towers on it and built another outside wall and strengthened the millow in the city of David and made weapons and shields in great number. He appointed military officers over the people and gathered them to him in the square at the city gate and spoke encouragingly to them, saying, now listen to this. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be dismayed because of the king of Assyria, nor because of all the horde that is with him. For the one with us is greater than the one with him. With him is only an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people relied on the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. You know what that is? That's counsel. Hezekiah offered counsel. Trust in the Lord. God's greater than who's with him. He's got the arm of flesh. We have the Lord. That's counsel. And they listen. After this, verse 9, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, sent his servants to Jerusalem while he was besieging Lachish with all his forces with him against Hezekiah, king of Judah, and against all Judah who were at Jerusalem, saying, thus says Sennacherib, king of Assyria, on what are you trusting that you are remaining in Jerusalem under siege? Is not Hezekiah misleading you to give yourselves over to die by hunger and by thirst, saying the Lord our God will deliver us from the hand of the king of Assyria? Has not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars and said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before one altar and on it you shall burn incense? Do you not know what I and my fathers have done to all the peoples of the lands? Were the gods of the nations of the lands able at all to deliver their land from my hand? Who was there among all the gods of those nations which my fathers utterly destroyed, who could deliver his people out of my hand, that your God should be able to deliver you from my hand? Now, therefore, do not let Hezekiah deceive you or mislead you like this, and do not believe him, for no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people from my hand or from the hand of my fathers. How much less will your God deliver you from my hand? His servant spoke further against the Lord and against his servant Hezekiah. He also wrote letters to insult the Lord God of Israel, to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations of the lands have not delivered their people from my hand, so the God of Hezekiah will not deliver his people from my hand. They called this out with a loud voice in the language of Judah to the people of Jerusalem who were on the wall to frighten and terrify them so they might take the city. They spoke of the God of Jerusalem as of the gods of the peoples of the earth, the work of men's hands. That's blasphemy from Sennacherib. Sennacherib says, you know, we've been through this. No God beats us. The gods of other nations did not beat us. Your God will not beat us. And Hezekiah's even messed up your God by taking away his high places. Shows how much theology Sennacherib knew. He says, you're just being silly trusting in the Lord. And verse 19 tells us he equated the God of Israel with the gods of the peoples of the earth. So what happened to Sennacherib? That's called gloating, by the way. Gloating is when you're making fun of someone because you got the upper hand and you won and you're making a lot of it. Verse 20, after these big words, King Hezekiah and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, prayed about this and cried out to heaven. And the Lord sent an angel who destroyed every mighty warrior, commander, and officer in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned in shame to his own land. And when he had entered the temple of his God, some of his own children killed him there with the sword. So the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all others, and guided them on every side. That is the wicked counselor. And it says back in our text that from you has gone forth one who plotted evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor, the gloating one. Assyria was destroyed. Assyria attacked Jerusalem about 701 BC, we're told, in that area. Dates change a lot in old times. What about that? A good bit of time before the destruction of Assyria, which Nahum is speaking of. But this is to note for the future. So, last point, when does a wicked counselor retire? When are you ever going to stop running your mouth, we say to wicked counselors. When are you ever going to shut up? Well, when does it happen? First, what's the solution? What's the answer to what I posed earlier? People want to be great. People want to reach the highest levels. And yet they're little people and the world is big. How do you do that? Well, Sennacherib shows us how. Sennacherib misled the people of Assyria. He corrupted his own kingdom with false gods. He was proud in the nations that he overcame. However, the one who heard about Sennacherib and speaks about him here was the Lord. You want to reach to the highest point? The Lord. You want your words to reach to the upper echelon? It's through the Lord. No matter what, every person who utters counsel against the Lord will face the Lord. You'll be at the top of your game, the top of the peak. Verse 9, whatever you devise against the Lord, he will make a complete end of it. Wicked counselors want our world to be changed, transformed according to their wicked counsel. But the Lord says, whatever you devise against the Lord, he will make a complete end of it. Distress, verse 9 says, will not rise up twice. In other words, when God strikes, he won't have to strike twice. I shot a rattlesnake one time with a .22. I did not strike twice. I actually emptied a whole magazine and then reloaded and shot it some more. I probably put 20-something bullets in that thing. When the Lord strikes, he says, I won't have to do it again. Once I strike, you're done. And won't have to go back and do it again. And verse 10 describes him going down as tangled thorns and drunks. You want to outbox Muhammad Ali in his day? Get him drunk first. You got a chance. It's like you're drunk. It's like you're a bunch of tangled thorns together that you can easily strike a match to. It's not hard for the Lord. And God's saying, I did that with Sennacherib. I'm going to do it again because this is the oracle of Nineveh. This is what's going to happen to Nineveh in the future, what happened in the past. God's judgment in the past is a warning to all who plot evil against the Lord. That's why I mentioned when the president mentioned quite several months ago that parents should affirm their transgender children's choices of what gender they want. The president was speaking in the face of the Lord. He doesn't have that authority. And God will judge him for that. When the Senate affirms same-sex marriage into law, which they just are about to do, if they haven't already, that flies in the face of the Lord. When parents tell their children there's no God and no need to worship God, then they're flying in the face of God. When preachers preach another gospel, tell people all they need to do is say yes to Jesus and you're saved, they're flying in the face of God. Matthew 12, verses 35 through 37 says, Jesus says, by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. The counsel of the wickedness, the counsel of this wicked counselor, comes to an end when the Lord judges him. That's what happened with Sennacherib. That's what happens to every person who defies the Lord. Charlie Brown has a character called Pigpen. You know Pigpen? Pigpen in the cartoons, when Pigpen walks, he doesn't walk alone. He carries a cloud with him, a dust cloud. And Pigpen has an aura about him. And we, without the, pig part, carry an aura with us. Where we go, what our hearts are about, communicate to the world around us what we are. And it should be what God is. What God says. Increasingly, in our world, we're inundated by most people who are emanating wickedness, and the world is heading more in that way. You can make a lot of money in this world as a wicked counselor, but there are no stores in hell in which to spend it. And as high and mighty as you are, Sennacherib, in this world, when the Lord lowers the boom, you go back to your house in shame, and even your own children kill you. You end up taken down. Because whatever you devise against the Lord, he will make a complete end of it, and you will not succeed. That's the warning on all of us. We are going to be counselors. We're going to talk to our children. We're going to talk to our grandchildren. We're going to talk to our friends. We're going to make an impact in this world. It better be the right impact. It better be the truth. You won't get that from the world. You get that from the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart to save you. Change your heart. Then you can be a good counselor. You don't want to go the other way. Let's pray. Lord, one problem we have is that there's so many wicked counselors. Lord, may we be good counselors. And all we have to do that is to have a heart for you, changed by you, and to speak your word and to know your word and to share the wisdom of your word. May we do so. In Jesus' name, amen.